There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
So why don't you just start off with your ramblings as you always do that?
Oh, you want me to start off with some kind of...
You always start off with your ramblings.
I always start off with some rambling. You don't think that it's a genuine capture of our conversation as three friends who've known each other for 20 years?
Yeah, that is very true.
Maybe it is. It's not.
Well, ramble on then.
Oh, God. I tell you what, I am 5 pounds lighter from...
I know.
We'll talk about this on Side Stories. I don't want to ruin Diana's lunch. We have a very special guest here today. I want to be classy. I want her to feel
You don't
want to
talk about Fat Boy Zabrowski being not forced to eat cream, but he couldn't resist. Therefore, there was some liquid runs
into it on Side Stories. Jackie had a birthday celebration. Long story short, I was sick for a long period of time. I had a miss.
You know you episode. Can't eat cream.
But I also tried to call in from the toilet
to
the radio show, and it was too busy.
I know. I had a lot of calls because they felt so bad for me. Welcome to Last Podcast on the Left, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry and Marcus.
We have
a very special episode for you all today. The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs. You've seen it. You love it. And who do you love the most? It's Darcy the Mail Girl, a.k.a. Aww. Diana Prince. She is on the show with us. Thank you so much for hanging out with us three weird sweaty men.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I am so honored. Thanks for having me.
You know, this seriously, Diana, this is so cool. I feel like what you bring to Last Drive-In is like, yeah, Joe Bob, he writes the script, and he knows everything about movies, blah, 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 blah. No, we love Joe Bob.
Seems like you're kind of criticizing Marcus a little bit as well.
A bit.
He's the Joe Bob of our podcast. I'm Darcy the Mail Girl.
Yes, you are. But Diana, your encyclopedic knowledge of horror films at the Last Drive-In comes across so crazy that we wanted to have a little bit of a discussion about summer horror films for Last Podcast on the Left. And I couldn't think of another horror movie expert that I would want on here to help guide us and educate the audience as to what the hell a summer horror film would constitute. What are the hard rules of a summer horror film? And what are some of the best in the catalog?
To me, I love a summer camp film. Mm-hmm. Like, I just love that feeling. And you can't really relive summer camp that easy anymore, but you can kind of live through that genre, which is I don't think there's a summer camp movie I don't enjoy, really.
I'm going to say I agree with you, Diana. I think we need to see male and female nipple.
Of course.
That's a summer movie because it's hot out there. Oh, my God. I better take my shirt off. You know, there has to be something that is sensual about a summer horror film.
I mean, I think that's a good element. I think it's a common element. Short shorts, no bras.
It's not mandatory, but I definitely enjoy it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think anything that evokes the feeling of summer, that evokes like either the fun of summer or just the general temperature of summer, something that feels hot, you know, especially like a Dog Day summer movie, like it's got to feel real hot.
I was talking about this with Natalie because that's my thing, right? Because to me, summer horror films are, because what I remember from as a kid, it's like the tentpole summer films, like something about it, like something you eat a lot of popcorn watching, you know what I mean? Like in my head, a summer monster movie is a lot of, it's like, you know, because that's where we put us during day camp where they didn't know what to do with us because I was in Queens, right? So there was no outside area, so they just put us in the movie theater and we just would watch whatever was there. And that's what I remember. It's like, it's actually, it's hot outside, but where I am inside is actually very cold.
For example, not a summer horror movie, The Exorcist, takes place inside, kind of rainy. However, I'm going to say the entire Jason Voorhees Friday the 13th series, all of those are summer films. You've got Skinny Dipping, you've got Water, you've got Counselors.
I used to watch it literally every single night during summer. I'd watch a different Friday the 13th. So those to me are the ultimate summer.
I agree.
I hate watching them during like October and stuff. A lot of people consider them Halloween movies, but no, to me, it's summer.
I agree. It's so funny because I feel the same exact way. Friday the 13th are not attached to a time period for me. I like summertime specifically, though. I mean, like in terms of not watching them around Halloween, I don't feel like watching them during the Halloween season. But are you, Diana, a person that goes through, like, do you go through franchises? Like, are you one of those, if you start a franchise, you have to finish it? Is that just my OCD?
If I've never seen it before, maybe, but not generally. Like, I'll watch 6 and then I'll watch 4 and then I'll go to a different one, different franchise altogether. I'm fine with that. So that's probably you.
It's too kinky for me, man. I got to do top to bottom. Like, I got to, it's always thorough and from 1 to the remake, and I don't know why.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you just hop right in with Saw 4, you're going to be totally confused. Why are they cutting this man's penis off? I need to know the backstory.
I mean, that's the point.
I mean, I think the only franchise that I have to watch 1 to whatever is Hellraiser. I have to watch. I mean, I can watch Nightmare on Elm Street and Halloween and Friday the 13th, all fucked up, but Hellraiser got to be in order.
Well, it's because the number one is technically the best one, even though I do believe that Hellraiser 3 needs a lot more love.
Yeah,
zeitgeist.
Yes,
because of CD Head.
CD Head's amazing.
And Camera Head. Camera Head is also, I think Camera Head is an underrated Cenobite.
I completely agree, and there's something very powerful and poignant about both of those characters. Diana, when did you start to get into horror movies?
I'm sorry, what?
When did you start to get into horror movies? Because it wasn't, you know, it used to just be a big boys genre, and now it's so nice. It's universal. There's, you know, obviously when we come to the Comic Cons and when it comes to our genre of sort of true crime and paranormal, it's so diverse now. Ladies love it, apparently, which we didn't really know. I mean, when did you get into horror?
Since forever. Like, I was... My dad was really into it, so I'd kind of sneak in when he was watching stuff and get terrified and run out. But when I was finally brave enough to watch on my own, the first one I watched was Friday the 13th Final Chapter when I was probably about 10-ish. Yes. And I was in love with Corey Feldman, so I was like, I have to watch and find out if he lives. Like, I had to watch the whole thing, even though I was scared. But I got through the end, and I felt, like, so brave and powerful, and I'm like... I made it past Jason. I saw boobs. This is the greatest thing I've ever done. More right now. So from then on, it was like everything I could get my hands on.
You know what the first pair of cinematic boobs I ever saw?
What was that,
Henry? It was in the movie Repossessed. Do you remember the Leslie Nielsen?
The Exorcist. Yeah.
Man, pull your dress down a little bit because she was pulling up from the bottom. And then she showed her the boobs. And I remember it was the first time I was watching a film with my mother and father because they all love the airplane movies. And they're all like, ah, very good. Ah, here. Ah, they immediately put boobs in his brain. And I was hooked.
Yeah. I have a similar story as far as like enduring a horror movie, but just being able to like get through it and feeling proud that you got through it. The first horror movie that I truly remember watching was Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, which has Viggo Mortensen, if you don't remember, one of his early roles. But I remember I watched it with a friend of mine during the summertime. We were at the lakes and like in this like unair conditioned lake house, sweating our ass off, and he peed his pants and I didn't. And so I felt superior. And I felt like I'd like accomplished them because I laughed through most of it and had a great time.
Texas Chainsaw is another one that'd be great for summer. It's very hot. Very hot.
Perfect.
That's what we were talking
about. That's my number one pick for midsummer. Like for the dog days of summer, my number one is the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Partly because, you know, you feel the heat off of that entire movie. You feel the claustrophobia of extreme heat, especially extreme Texas heat, which is just the fucking worst. And the fact that the movie itself, like they said, the room where they were filming the dinner scene was something like 110 degrees in there with all the lights in the middle of a Texas summer. And it just, you feel the heat radiating off of that movie the entire time.
You really do. Like you feel the uncomfortableness of it all.
And also just the incredible beach body of Gunnar Hansen. And I miss him. And I wish that I could have been around him sensually. Maybe that'll go to my first pick. Cause in the summertime, a lot of times, weirdly, I think the summer, which we've seen the last couple summers, it's also a very intensely like political time an intense time, especially recently. And there's a movie I watch every July 4th that I love, besides just, wait till we talked right before we started recording, The Last Drive-In finally showed Uncle Sam.
Oh, Uncle Sam, fantastic.
Dude, you have no idea how I had to fight for that, because not everyone is a fan of cheesy 90s flicks like I am. And I was just, that is such a must watch at July 4th for me. So I was just so excited we got to show it finally.
I mean, I love
I feel
that
like
movie.
As 90s babies, we were blessed. We had some fantastic films that would just go, and this was back in the day for you youngsters out there. You used to have to go to a place called Blockbuster Video.
Oh, yeah.
Or Family Video. And you would or Hollywood Video, and you would pick the horror film based upon the cover, which was never indicative of how good the movie was.
Not necessarily.
But
sometimes it slid in, but I also
Uncle
find
Uncle Sam had a kick-ass freaking cover.
But the 90s had a really, 90s had a rash of films that were all based upon fear of having a job. There was The Dentist, Ice Cream Man,
Dr. Giggles.
Oh, the best.
Oh, God, I'm so excited. Tell me more, baby.
But July 4th, I love to watch Tales from the Hood. Because Tales from the Hood has a full on, there's something about it. I always, before a July 4th party, I always find myself turning it on in the morning. I watch it as soon as I wake up with a bowl and a cup of coffee.
Oh, nice.
Because there's something about the bracing reality mixed with the high theatricality of that movie, where it's just, it is genuinely still very frightening. Mm-hmm. It is also got one of my favorite things, tropes in any film ever, which is puppets being dangerous. Anytime a small toy is dangerous, I love it. Maybe it's because I'm small as a person, and I like the idea of everyone being scared of me.
Sure.
That if I put on a full photorealistic Chucky costume, I'd scare the fuck out of a bunch of people.
You scare the hell out of me, that's for sure.
But yeah, I just love that movie. There's just something about it. It has a cultural importance, and it's got a great ensemble cast, and it's just fucking, and it's brutal.
What would be your go-to if you have to choose July 4th, Diana Prince, Darcy the Mail Gal? What do you bring in? What are you bringing to Joe Bob?
Well, I mean, Uncle Sam was my number one, but if we're excluding that, then I Know What You Did Last Summer is another go-to. They're like a double feature.
I do.
It's a beachiness, and not only is it a beachiness, but it was filmed in Wilmington, and I'm from South Carolina, so it feels very at home to me. It's like it's at home during the 4th of July. So I love that vibe.
I'm going to say this right now. Underrated actress, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
True.
I like her.
Really?
Why not?
But why yes?
Why not? See?
I wish she could do more. I wish she like just embraced the horror genre and just come back and just be our screen queen right now. I'd love that.
I Know What You Did Last Summer. She was in the remake of the Grudge, right? She was also in that.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, Buffy, you know, like that's a horror TV show. So, you know, she's got her pedigree.
She had a run there, but she kind of like abandoned it. So like time for her to come back. Realize we need her there.
See, I like the American Grudge as much as I like the Japanese Grudge. Sometimes that doesn't always work. Same thing with like Ring, right? The Ring, I always thought that, I actually thought that the American remake was actually better than Ringu.
Whoa, but it's controversial.
I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I like Naomi Watts. I think she's a great actor.
Sure.
And also it was very, very scary. Dan, let me ask you a question. Why do you feel like some of these, like that type of actor, like Sarah Michelle Gellar and those people, why are they so afraid to embrace their genre roots?
I think it just forever had this stigma that it's not like real cinema. There's people that are known whose names I won't mention who are very much considered screen queens and stuff who hate horror and kind of look down upon it and are not proud to be known that way. And that's super unfortunate because if it's up, like, I wouldn't want to do anything but that. Like to me, it's amazing. Be proud of that. Realize how much of a fan base there is that just lives for it. You know, and be proud to be part of it.
Kind of brings me to my first film that I want to mention. It stars, oh my God, she's one of our friends, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, we're so close with her.
The Leprechaun. Leprechaun is a fantastic film, totally underrated.
So you're bringing Leprechaun.
Yes, yes.
I
You're bringing
love
it
Leprechaun.
Out of March. It's a March film.
Oh my God. Whatever.
That's fair. It's definitely not a summer film.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't matter. Jennifer Aniston.
She's barely in the film and she disavowed
it. She's not barely in the film. She didn't disavow it. Why?
She kind of did, yeah.
She did?
Yeah.
Why?
But and I think one day she'll realize that it's her ultimate role. Like I think
it's her best role.
Yes, I agree. I love her forever because of Leprechaun. And she looked very summery in it. Like she had her like shorts on, her LA Gear sneakers, and she seemed very summery, early summer.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, this is the thing. Kissel, I will say Kissel's brain is timeless. And he's actually never quite sure what day or week it is.
That is true.
So I think that's actually very appropriate. You could have a St. Patrick's Day film in the middle of summer.
Yeah, why not? Well, there's no rules. This isn't Scream.
Well, my first official pick, you know what? And I'm going to go a little bit backwards here. My end of summer pick actually is Scream. Because
there you
Scream,
go.
Because Scream is, first of all, Scream is a blockbuster movie. Like, which is the definition of a summer movie. I believe it did come out during summer. And for me, the end of summer,
it came out during December, actually.
It came out in December. Shit. No shit. Yeah.
So you're fucking wrong, Marcus. Where's your script? Where's all your answers?
This is what Diana's here.
Regardless, maybe it came out on video in summer because I remember seeing it for the first time in summertime.
Go ahead.
No, Diana, when did it come out?
Summer in Australia, right? So that counts.
There you
go. I suppose so. All right, cool. I grew up in Australia. Nobody knows that, but I grew up in Australia.
They have rocks there too.
Regardless, I do feel like it. Like it feels like a summer film to me, at least. Like it feels like that, like big blockbuster hit, and it. That transition into September, like, I don't know. I mean, even though I'm almost 40, it's still like school time. And Scream is such like a high school movie. And it feels like the beginning of the school year when all the possibilities are there and nobody said no to you asking them out on a date yet.
Well, technically, that is so much more wrong than mine, because by definition, if it's a school movie, it can't be a summer movie.
Well, it's an end of summer film, because that's the one thing I do want to talk about. This is the transition time, right? Because I feel like there do people get a little bit. I think the old word is that people get upset, right, about this Halloween taking over this time period. But I say, fuck you. And fuck them.
More Halloween. Because that's what I say.
You fucking. You know what else technically needs more representation is Thanksgiving, sure. But fucking Halloween. We need this time period.
Absolutely.
And so we own. Halloween owns the last week of August to the end of October. If anybody says anything different, I mean, what are we going to do? I want to get into a shirts off fight with you.
I'm right there with you.
But that's why I think Scream's an appropriate choice, because it's about the transition.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, that's an interesting point when it comes to horror, the genre. It does show transition. Oftentimes puberty is involved. And there's a lot of different changes that go on with the characters in horror movies that represent our own personal lives. Diana, what is an example of a horror film that shows a transition from the lead character to the super, mostly heroine that they turn into? That's what's so awesome about the genre that does not get enough respect is how, as you mentioned, Diana, it's empowering. You know, I mean, it really is an empowering genre for women. Obviously, there's a lot of content that is triggering. There's like sometimes some abuse, but the revenge is amazing.
I know. I mean, sometimes that's very cathartic. I've definitely talked to a lot of people that have gone through, you know, sexual assault and whatnot. And they'll watch I Spit on Your Grave over and over again to just feel that hell yeah, revenge thing that they can't get in real life. So that's very empowering. For me, it's Alice in Nightmare on Street 4. She starts off so shy, so scared, can't look at herself in the mirror. And then at the end, she's kicking all the ass. So like, I love her and relate to that so hard. And that definitely empowered me when I watched it the first time.
It's really interesting because I actually rewatched 4 and I really just forgot how much I love that movie.
This is Dream Warriors, right?
No, it's not Dream Warriors. It's the next one. What is it, Diana?
Dream
Child.
Dream Master.
Child is 5. Because that's my most watched of all of the franchises. I think I've watched Nightmares the most. But, three and four are the ones I've watched the most of Nightmare, but Nightmare is my most watched franchise next to Hellraiser and Phantasm. Phantasm is my favorite franchise because you get to watch them age in real time.
That was fantastic.
It's a hell of a choice.
That's I like. But in terms of transition. This is the other transitional, because I want to talk about this. My number one transitional movie from summer to fall is Poltergeist.
Oh, my goodness. That girl was haunted and she died.
She died. She had a disease.
No, she said that she died because of the movie. What happened, Diana? You don't think so?
There's some, oh Lord, y'all need to just Google that.
Didn't she get murdered?
There's a lot of complicated stories around it, but what I have been led to believe is some stuff happened to her because of a sexual assault thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought that what the little, I thought Carol Ann, didn't she have like a kidney disease?
Oh, wait,
like,
which one? They actually both got, I thought we were talking about Carol. So that is kind of what look it up. I don't want to talk too much about it. Plus, I don't want to be incorrect with my facts, but definitely.
Diana, no, you know what, Diana? You're here to talk about the movies. I know you know the movies. You don't got to worry about the information. Technically, that's a Marcus. I can see his little fingers here clicking right now. It's easy. That's his power.
There's the real official story of her, and then there's the thing that people kind of know that kind of put out there. So it's like, how much is rumor, how much is not, which is
right.
You know, but so still, we'll go with kidney for her. And then the sister was actually murdered.
She was murdered. Wow. Right. Yeah. You could see the worried look on Marcus's face as he's now learning the truth of what happened to Carol Ann, which is actually very sad.
It's one of those where like the official, there's an official cause of death. And then there's a read between the lines cause of death. And it's quite horrific.
Ah, yeah. Very good.
Yeah. As long as
I want to go back to the film.
Go back to the film. As long as it has nothing to do with Craig T. Nelson, I'm fine.
Yeah, Craig T. Nelson's innocent.
All good. He's good.
He's innocent. But what I
He's
love
about
Poltergeist has, like, it still freaks me out. To this day,
absolutely.
It creeps me out. Like, I don't know what it is about that movie, and I don't know if it's because you start the movie sort of in the comfortable hands of Steven Spielberg. Like, you definitely are in it's his film for a little period of time, and then it becomes a Tobe Hooper movie, where you see you feel that kind of sense of familiarity, the way that Spielberg can, more than anybody else. Like, as you, if you guys don't know, Tobe Hooper directed Poltergeist, but Steven Spielberg executive produced it and had a very heavy hand when it came to how that movie got done. And Spielberg, you could kind of feel
his... Nobody would disagree with that, though.
I know some people would, but you look at it and it has the, you can kind of, to me, I see the Tobe Hooper DNA and I see the Spielberg DNA strands in it. And you can kind of see why it made it a perfect horror movie in a way, because you love this family. I feel like that's where the Spielberg element kind of comes in, where you look at that whole group. I wish that Craig T. Nelson was my dad.
Do you really do, huh?
Yeah, I mean, in that movie, he's really understandable. As long as he wasn't molesting anybody, I think it's great.
Well, of course, he went on to be a coach. We never know. Well, I think that is fantastic. I'm blanking on the name of the movie that I want to mention. Isn't that fascinating content?
It is great.
It involves children. It involves the 80s style genre.
But I want to keep talking about Poltergeist because you got the real skeletons in it. You got fucking, what's her name? Tiny woman.
Zelda.
Oh, Rubenstein.
This house is clear. That one.
Okay.
She's the greatest horror actress of all time.
Diana, did you ever meet Zelda Rubenstein?
No, unfortunately. I wish.
Who's your favorite that you've ever met?
Well, you mean favorite before I met them or still after?
Oh, no, don't worry about it. Maybe.
Both.
Yeah.
What
about both?
You ready to burn a bridge? Come on.
Burn that bridge.
Favorite of all time that I've met. Let's go, Barbara Steele. She's great.
Okay, fantastic. Okay.
That's very nice.
There's no Zelda Rubenstein.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Say, my favorite moment in the entirety of Poltergeist is the paranormal researcher ripping the flesh off his own skin, off his own face. That's great. Great practical effect. Well, that's such a good example of practical effects looking obviously fake, and yet it still freaks you out because it has that dreamlike quality.
And that's the most important thing, is having a good special effects person on there that has tangible, real, goopy. You know, I hate the CGI special effects. Where are you on that, Diana? What's the perfect mix of CGI and good, tangible special effects?
if it can help you save the budget, then I understand CGIs and I don't hate it automatically. But if you can do practical, like always, that's the way to go, in my personal opinion. It just takes me out when you know it's not really there. You know,
I feel like a movie that just did it perfectly was the remake of The Mist.
Yeah,
that was just like such a perfect mixture of CGI and realistic effects.
True.
No, I love that one, man. I feel like that's a good one. I also, but hey, Dana, put it to you. What do you think's the best digital effects you've seen in a horror movie? Because I might put what's its putts. I might put Drag Me to Hell. Yeah, Drag Me to Hell. I would put there. That's close, but it was kind of over there. I still feel like it was over top, but they did. I think.
Well, the final scene, they dadged a little too much CGI, but that's all right. What movie does it right, Diana?
Just pure CGI?
Yeah. Like, what do you think? Like, what's one of the, you're like, yeah, that's pretty good, besides Hogzilla?
Hogzilla.
Practical in there too.
Yeah, they have that one big hog head in it, which is pretty fucking sweet.
Oh lord. Any like ghost type movies? Let's go like House on Haunted Hill remake, maybe.
I really did that one.
You and Natalie, my wife Natalie, is obsessed with that movie.
I was shocked how good it is.
Yes, she loves that remake. Because I'm on your side, Diana, where like I like, there's certain types of horror remakes I like. Like, I love the Evil Dead remake.
You know, that was something I was going to mention as far as CGI done right. I think, didn't that one use a fair amount of CGI?
Well, it had gallons of good blood in it.
Yeah, real blood.
Yeah, it was a good mix. A good example of a perfect mix-up.
Yeah.
Well, I think
that was 10 years ago.
I know, dude.
Why did I feel like that would just happen like last summer?
I know.
Isn't that crazy? I think when it comes to ghosts, CGI is better.
Agreed.
In many ways.
That's the one time that it can be superior, I think.
And 13 Ghosts.
13 Ghosts.
I almost chose 13 Ghosts as one of mine because I absolutely love that movie.
Make it, choose it.
But no, I got a better one.
Okay, I was going to say The Frighteners, very fun. And that's also, that's a summer movie, right?
I don't know. That feels more like a fall movie to me. Because everyone's wearing jackets.
You know, I'll give him this.
Wearing
that
fucking
one
jackets,
give.
Huh?
I'll give him that if he wants to have that one.
Leprechaun and Frighteners.
If you want to stay in the realm of Peter Jackson, though, I would argue that Dead Alive is a pretty good summer film.
It's romantic.
Or would that be more spring?
Fuck! It doesn't matter!
Live from your grave.
Have a packed schedule this fall? HelloFresh has your meals covered with a weekly selection of over 30 recipes and more than 70 convenience items, all delivered to your door. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Every HelloFresh recipe includes ripe, just-picked produce that travels from the farm to your door in less than a week. HelloFresh is 25% less expensive than takeout and is even cheaper than grocery shopping, too. HelloFresh isn't just for dinners. Shop HelloFresh Market for quick breakfasts, wholesome snacks, and even desserts. You'll find everything you need to satisfy your craving without stepping foot in the grocery store or mini mart. I love HelloFresh. I like the chicken recipes, and I certainly love to eat them and give some to my dogs. Go to HelloFresh.com/LastPod16 and use code LastPod16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/LastPod16 and code LastPod16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts.
A roast as dark as the night. Perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
Well, I would say, I mean, if we're talking about that transitional period between spring and summer, something that sits right on the edge, but I would argue for this being a summer movie because it is an introduction to summer. I would recommend everybody watch this next year on May Day, the original Wicker Man.
Yeah. Ooh.
We're trying to show that around that time, so fingers crossed it works out.
Yes, please.
Yes, absolutely. No, the original Wicker Man is just so the soundtrack is fantastic. Actually, Christopher Lee argued that it was a musical at the end of the day. Like that's what he told. Like he came in like in the middle of the production, like near the end of the production, and announced to everyone like, "Behold, we are creating a musical."
Whoa! All right, Christopher Lee.
Yeah, and everyone's down for it.
I actually didn't mind the Nick Cage remake.
I hated it. I hated it. It's not even. It's fine as a 3.5 minute YouTube montage.
Not the bees.
I mean, he didn't want the bees. Makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, but the original Wicker Man is so good.
In the remake of Wicker Man, do you have any problems? Like Nat and I both were laughing the last time we watched it. Was laughing because of just how many women he punches in the head in the last 25 minutes of that movie.
I'm fine with that. If you deserve a punch in the head, then go for it.
It was so funny. But also, do you think, this is another controversial thing. Maybe I'm wrong. I think they took the bees scene out of the movie for digital streaming.
Did they?
No way.
The bee ending was an alternate ending. And
what?
So they had, yeah, there was two endings to that movie. There was the bees, and then there was just putting them in the Wicker Man and lighting them on fire.
No fucking way.
Oh, come on.
Because I went looking for the bee scene again because the first time I watched it, we lost our minds, right? We just like loved that scene.
It's a brilliant scene.
But I haven't seen it since because I thought like they cut it out like they did with the sad song in Muppet's Christmas Carol.
They cut that out too?
Yeah, they cut the sad song out of it because kids hated it.
I mean, who cares? It's not for, and not everything is for the kids.
Everything is, man. Everything's for the TikTok generation, man.
Speaking of Wicker Man and summer, I'm going to go with Midsommar.
That's a good one.
Now, that is that a fucking summer movie?
It is.
It's literally called Middle of Summer.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. That one counts. And they also burn people.
Count.
And they dance around.
And also Wicker Man, the location of the original Wicker Man is Summer Isle. And Christopher Lee's character is Lord Summer Isle.
Oh.
Diana, what's your favorite cult movie?
Cult movie?
Like this, like that style of like witch cult, like, well, I guess folk horror, you'd put that in.
Yeah,
sure.
Folk horror.
Folk horror.
Oh, cult, that's a tough one, though.
That's a genre I love.
Yeah, it can go in and out. I just recently watched V on Shudder, the VIY. That was actually surprisingly very good. And it is one of the first Russian language movies that were allowed to be distributed outside of Russia.
That's not for me.
You know what? I'm going to say best cult movie, horror film of all time. And if you fucking disagree with me on this, Diana, you're allowed to disagree with me because you can do whatever you want. But if Marcus and Henry do, then I'm going to quit the show as Rosemary's Baby.
Sure.
Oh, God. I disagree so hard. I hate it.
Whoa. You don't like Rosemary's Baby?
I hate it.
Why don't you like Rosemary's Baby? This is unbelievable.
I had heard so much about how great it was. And then I went and watched it. And it's so boring and nothing happens. And it's not scary. I just hate it so much. I'm so mad at it.
Fascinating.
Because of TikTok. That's what I'm saying.
You're blaming TikTok?
TikTok did it. That's what happened. She's used to the sound bites.
Okay. I love the slow burn.
Yeah, I'll say I love Rosemary's Baby, but in that same, I guess, realm, that same arena, what do you think of The Sentinel?
It's not my favorite either. I'm not a big
Sentinel.
I love the Sentinel so much.
I was just gonna say, like, the great thing we get to do on our show is show things from all genres. Even if I'm not a fan, I'm happy. I think we might be getting to show that soon. So I'm happy to use other people to it, even if I'm not the biggest fan. Same with like the Changeling kind of like.
Yeah, love the Changeling.
I was very vocal about how I'm not a huge fan, but I know lots of people are. So I'm glad we get to show it and give people a chance to figure it out for themselves if they're fans.
I will say, Diana, I think that the Changeling's kind of boring as well. That one I do think is boring. But what I would
say, Changeling.
This is why I like Last Drive-In, because I feel that truly my tastes are directly split between Diana and Joe Bob. And that I think that there are movies that are Joe Bob movies for me that I love. Sometimes there are just atmospheric movies that I just like being on in the background. Like,
sure.
Rosemary's Baby to me is a party movie. You know what I mean? It's a movie you put on a screen with no audio and you have music playing and it's just like one of those things that kind of plays in the background like during a Halloween party. Like that's what I would do. But these standards have changed.
Yeah.
I mean, The Sentinel, it's a fantastic film if you think about Beverly D'Angelo.
Yeah.
My God. And then she went on in Christmas Vacation, she married Chevy Chase.
It's all fake.
I know. But if you think about it, like, it's not. What a life, huh?
What
but,
is your favorite Joe Bob movie, Diana? Like literally, because you know what I mean. I know, because he likes some of the older shit. He's got a traditional stripe inside of him. What is your favorite of his choices?
Well, his favorite of all time is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So that's definitely a good one. Oh, yeah. He's also a big fan of Next Generation. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I agree with, and a lot of people are not fans of that one.
Yeah,
the one
Next
with Renee
Generation.
Zellweger?
Yeah, and Matthew McConaughey. I guess I got to watch it again, because the first time I watched it, I hated it so much.
It's super fun, and he's such a purist with Texas Chainsaw, and he still loves it, so I love that he champions that one.
I mean, the new Leatherface is another film that I absolutely loved. It was like written by a fan of Leatherface, the most recent one that came out this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, Leatherface got his revenge on all of these people who were quite mean to him. And I love when the monster gets the revenge, because he's just a big boy with some kind of bizarre disease, much like Jason Voorhees. When they kill all of these handsome people and beautiful gals, I just think it's a beautiful thing to see.
I had so much fun watching me and Carolina just had, like, we just sat on the couch and just spent an hour and a half going, yeah!
Yeah!
Go, Leatherface! Go, Leatherface!
Yeah, look at all the blood. Oh, the bus is full of blood. It's a blood bus. Fuck yeah.
Diana, I don't know if did you see the new remake of Leatherface? Did you see Leatherface?
Well, are you talking Leatherface or the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Leatherface. The one that came out. The one that just came out.
Yeah, it came out this year.
So that one was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right? The one with the bus scene. That's what you're talking
about. Yes. Yeah.
So as a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, I can see why people don't enjoy it. But as just a fun slasher, like, I love the kills. It was fun. Yeah. Joe Bob, however, not a fan.
No, he was upset.
Why was he upset?
Well, it's because they do, I will say, because my criticism of the film was that they missed some of the subtleties of the character of Leatherface, truly, where Leatherface wasn't just a rampant maniac. These people were coming into his home, and he was at first trying to bridge some form of communication with these people. And
when was the communication?
Well, it's because as a boy, he didn't know that he needed to be more outwards to strangers, and his family actually kept him very sheltered, which is why he was so scared when these people came and disturbed the peace of his home. And that's why he reacted in the way he did, killing them. Because Grandpa distilled in him this lesson. So I feel like that's what the new one missed, was a little bit of the subtleties of family.
I feel like the new one got revenge right, because it was one of the first, it was maybe the only Texas Chainsaw Massacre where the people that were killed all deserved it.
Yeah, that's
because they
awesome.
Screwed him over. That was his house. That was his mama's house. They killed Leatherface's mama. And you know, just like Jason, he's a mama's boy. You mess with the mom, you're going to get killed. That's what I love about him. As a mama's boy, I think it's great.
Did the mechanic deserve it? I don't remember anything that he did to deserve his awesome kill.
Oh, he was just annoying.
Mechanics are price gougers, and they lie to us about what's wrong with our cars.
Absolutely. Also,
okay,
there was
fair.
No
he
there, was,
it.
There was no one in that town. So what was he fixing?
I don't know.
He was living a lie.
What I loved about Texas, the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre, is that it was so goddamn visceral. Because when you watch the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is not just one of my favorite horror movies, but one of my favorite movies in general, like, the famous thing about the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre is that there's very little gore. There's very little blood, and you don't see most of the kills.
It's grimy atmosphere.
Yeah, it's super grimy atmosphere. Just makes you feel gross, and it scares the hell out of you because it's in broad daylight. But this one, but that's the thing about it, is that you wanted that. You wanted to see the fucking chainsaw going in. You wanted to see a decapitation. And this one, it gave you everything you wanted.
It really
and
did.
That's there's a part nothing, of our and there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely and there's nothing wrong with enjoying it either.
Unfortunately, that's what it is. It's because we our lack of attention span. That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
It's TikTok. That's what it's done. And that's why I want to add my third and final film to talk my wife. I think there's one aspect of the summer film that we have not broached, which is, I believe that one of the pillars of for a horror movie to be considered a summer horror film is the monster movie.
Gotta have a monster.
I think the monster movie at a theater or at a drive-in is one of the best ways to spend a summer night. It's my favorite shit. So I was trying to figure out like what summer, but then also kind of like had this kind of split in my mind. Technically, you know, the best monster movies of all time, probably I would put up there Shin Godzilla. I would put one of those up there. But I feel like the Godzilla films are probably more like sci-fi, right? Sci-fi, yeah. Mothra, the Godzilla sci-fi. So in my mind, the one I wanted to choose was The Host.
Oh.
I love The Host. And I think, again, it kind of ushered in the modern self-conscious horror movie. It's kind of meta. It kind of makes fun of the genre itself, but also is in and of itself a very compelling horror movie. And also just like, it's just good. It's good as fucking hell. And it's scary. And it's got a lot of violence.
What's the name of this goddamn movie? I'm Super 8?
Not Super 8. It's not Super 8.
Monster Squad? You thinking about Monster Squad?
I think it's Super 8. Yeah, it's Super 8.
That's a sci-fi film.
Yeah, it's that got counts. Kyle Chandler in it.
I never guessed that one.
That counts. Sci-fi horror, they're friends.
I would say we're leaving out a big one, which is shark movies. Like Jaws, you have to watch in the summer. There's no other time.
I know, but then I felt like I wanted to impress you, Diana. I just wanted you to know. I wanted to choose something else besides it. But yes, I love Jaws. What is your favorite shark movie, Diana?
It's got to be Jaws.
Deep Blue Sea.
Oh my goodness. LL Cool J. Hello.
New generation. This is what happens when the kids take over the airwaves.
I mean, I just love it. And I mean, it is a lot of CGI in there, but I'll take it and it's fun. And that first time when I saw Samuel Jackson with his speech and then, you know,
yeah,
like, it was just amazing. So mind blown. And I keep going back to that one. That's my go-to shark movie.
All right. I mean, when it comes to in water horror, number one, open water is horrifying.
That's horrifying.
Mm-hmm. That's very scary.
It just reminds me I can't swim.
Yes. And the entire thing just takes place in the water, and to make it cinematic and to make it dramatic is actually very difficult. Also, the remake of Piranha 3D is immensely freaking fun. It is. And the kills are great. I forget the name of the porn star in it. She had big old boobies. But her
Brie Olsen.
No.
It might be.
No, it was.
It wasn't Brie.
No, it was. It was.
Riley?
She was.
Was it Riley?
No, it was a gal that had massive.
She's smaller.
She. Oh my goodness, what was her name? But her death was just so
three double
funny.
D.
Riley Steele.
There you go.
No, I don't know if that
was Riley Steele. It was.
Yeah.
Yep,
I'm clicking. It's her subheadline is American Pornographic Actress.
Well, that is absolutely certainly her. Fantastic. Well, good for her.
I was doing porn at that time. And I was so jealous. I was like, how do I get in Piranha 3D?
You just got to go through the Shutter pipeline. And now don't worry, Diana. You can be in all of the, you could be in Piranha 3G.
Oh.
It is going to be, they're
I
ready
would be
for you.
Double G.
Yes.
I'll give it time for that.
But there's something about water and people being in said water and then having sea creatures kill them where you feel so powerless. And that's why they actually scare me almost too much, where I can't really watch them because I don't think I'd win in real life. With every other horror movie, like I had a dream. I've had two Freddy dreams, and both of the times I did win. So it kind of works. I was like, sweet, I beat Freddy. And we kissed. But when it comes to any sea movie, I'm losing. Yeah. I'm drowning immediately.
Well, yeah, because the water can get you. The water is inherently its own like scary monster. So it's like you have to fight a bunch to win this. It's really hard.
I was thinking of Gianna Michaels.
Gianna Michaels.
Gianna Michaels.
Live from your grave.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet last podcast on the left, babe. Go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious, weedy taste, which is what I like. And three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road and get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name.
Absolutely.
Last podcast on the left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
What's your third pick, Marcus?
I already had all three. It was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Scream, and Wicker Man.
Man.
But right. Wicker Man's my number one. That's what I will say is like that. That's what you got to. I mean, I think you still have to wait till next year, but you could enjoy Scream right now. And it's still hot as balls here in New York. So you could definitely still enjoy Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Can I ask everybody?
Okay.
Where the fuck is our octopus movie?
Ooh, that's a good call. Where is a good is there a good horror octopus movie?
Well, I know. I don't think that Ed Wood had an octopus in one of his horror movies. Remember the scene in Ed Wood where Martin Landau is out in the pond at 3 a.m. just going,
Yes. Yeah, there's my octopus teacher where that guy tried to fuck that octopus.
Yeah.
Well, that's
did you see that, Diana? It was weird.
Which one?
It was called My Octopus Teacher, and it was about this guy got like really fucking. He got like weirdly physically close with this octopus, and he's like, "We can communicate." And it's like, I don't know, that's a horror movie because it really is just about this guy trying to fuck this octopus.
There's a really old one. It came from beneath the sea. It's kind of octopusy, I guess that counts. And there's a really cheesy, like I think straight to video or something called Octopus. But we need like a really good scary octopus, the giant squid. Dang, used to always scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, dude, because also now giant squids are fucking real. Like, because of the warming temperatures, they're all coming up to the surface.
Yeah. The octopus that scared the shit out of me when I was a kid, one of my favorite movies when I was a child, was King Kong versus Godzilla. There was a big octopus fight between King Kong and an octopus, and it was quite creepy because they used a real octopus and they had and then they just threw an octopus on a guy in a monkey costume and he had to wrestle around with it for about 10 minutes. It was a very long fight.
You know what this is, Diana? And you got to get this in Last Drive-In. It's the movie Dagon.
Okay,
have you seen Dagon?
I feel like I did a long time ago, but I don't remember it very well.
It does sound like a Texas man who stubbed his toe on the bed when he got up in the middle of the night. Dagon. But
I
no,
definitely
it's,
remember people recommending it to me, so I think I checked it out, but I have no strong memory.
That's what I'm seeing here now, because it's Stuart Gordon, who we all love. This might be a good B-side. This might be a good one for, like, you know, because, and Last Drive-In, do you guys talk about what goes up first and what goes up second?
For sure, yeah.
Like, this is a good second movie.
Those are the ones I generally like more.
yeah, me too, because they're the super weird ones.
Well, Diana, when it comes to your work, what movie would you recommend that you are in that people should watch this summer?
Plug that shit, dude.
Absolutely.
I'm not plugging anything I've ever done. Just stay away from it.
Evil Bong 666, perhaps?
Hey, come on. I liked it.
Evil Bong 888 just came out, and it is my biggest role I've ever done, and they named me Tom Atkins. And my whole motivation for being in it is to, like, be able to afford streaming services and feed my pet lizard. So there's that.
Hey, man.
Fantastic.
That's movie making. Are you trying to get into more movies now? Like, I know you joked about it before. You wanted...
Not at all. Like, I've never considered myself like an actress. I kind of just do things that are fun. Mostly I come in for quote unquote cameo kills.
Yeah.
I just did one. Oh, can I talk about this yet? I don't know. I signed an NDA for something coming out in October. Wink, wink. Where I got a really fucking cool kill. And
that's awesome. But that's, Diane, I'm the same way, because I always wanted to be like, seriously, anybody who's making a horror movie, get me in there just to be murdered. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, exactly. It's so fun. And so, like, I got to be killed by a very legendary character in this one. So that's awesome. Just amazing. And you'll see it. I promise you.
Fantastic.
That's so fucking awesome.
Well, all right, Diana Prince.
This was so cool,
Darcy,
Diana.
The male girl.
This means so much to us. Thank you for fucking hashing it out with us, talking some movies. I hope that our audience can go and, like, go download this shit, go buy.
Absolutely.
You know what I want to press, honestly? Fucking buy a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I want.
Buy Blu-ray.
I've been buying Blu-ray lately as well, and I'm loving it.
I think it's time to get back to physical media. And get back into it. You get higher quality film transfers, and they can't take it away from you. Because I just had that happen to me. I bought Dune on iTunes. Man, that's supposed to be mine. Then they took that away from me.
It's true. Joe Bob's a really big advocate of physical media. He's very, like, exactly for that reason. It's like you quote unquote own it, but it could go anytime. And also they can edit it anytime and take out whatever they want. And it's a whole different movie.
I'm also currently stalking your Instagram page, and I'm really upset that you got to meet Danhausen. He's a fantastic pro wrestler. He's like this. He's got this character where he's like a horrible magician, and he keeps on being like, "I put a spell on you," but then the wrestlers are like, "No, you didn't."
But Diana, if Diana knows, I think that you might even like, you'd probably like wrestling even more than you like horror movies, right?
No, no. Horror first, definitely, for sure.
You got that wrong, you fucking idiot. Yeah, she likes me better than you. Nice.
Definitely, I love wrestling, and I want to incorporate it like as much as I can. Like every season, it's like, how about this wrestler? How about this wrestler? Let's have Chris Jericho on all the time. Why not?
No, he's a real stud muffin, that Chris Jericho.
He's
always
very
has
handsome.
Been.
I saw him.
He's super knowledgeable, though. Like, I'm just, the first time I met him, like, it was like, cool, you're a legend, whatever. But then he started talking about, like, he really got me with, which my favorite Good to You summer that isn't Friday 13th is Sleepaway Camp 2. So yes. He started talking about that immediately. And I'm like, we are best friends now.
That was another one I got because of the cover. You got the knife going through the shoe, or is that part one? Either way, it's awesome.
But then it turned out to be, like, amazing. Like, I like Sleepaway Camp 2 much better than the first one, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's boob, but, like, bonus right there.
It's so good. Sleepaway Camp 2 is really good. You guys surprised me. Again, it's another one of those that I would never have watched. And
it's a great one.
And it's just fucking great. It's great. And then you get to meet Felissa Rose all the time, who sounds like a fucking, she's a hoot and a half.
She is just the best. Like, her energy and just positivity is just amazing. She was there in the first, when we did the first marathon, and I was so scared, and I didn't know she was going to be there. And I walked out, and the Felissa Rose sitting in the lobby getting ready to write to the set with me. I'm like, hey. Talk to you. She was so nice, and she helped me get through it, and she's the best.
Well, that is fantastic.
I try to communicate with Bill Moseley, who's like also like, that's one of those too. But I felt like, man, he must get so sick of the fat men.
I saw him
like,
in the air.
Nervous around him. Like, he's going to be like, Mr. Moseley, I did well in your films.
I was so scared of him. Like, for the first 10 times I met him or so, I'm like, you are very scary, sir. Even though he's like the nicest person in life, all I can see is his characters. So I'm like, okay, stay away.
That's the thing, is to think about that. You got, if you're married to Bill Moseley, I mean, Diana, you probably like this because you like these guys scary. But it's like Bill Moseley, like him being like, good night, like him like kissing you good night. It's like, it's a lot. That's very scary to be up close to that, those lips.
I love it. I was up close to him. I saw him at LAX, and I gave him a big old hug. But he was totally uncomfortable.
You're 6'7", 300 pounds, so they have to take your hug.
Well, maybe he thought I was like Leatherface. Well, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much, Diana. And thank you so much for keeping horror alive and well. I'm just, it's amazing. Joe Bob is still at it. And
it's so cool.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. That's the best genre that has ever existed.
Is there anything else you want to plug? You want to tell people where they can find you at? Were there anything you want them to see?
I'm not a big plugger. Just our Halloween special is in October if you want to check it out.
Oh yeah, we will.
It's a good time for it.
And I'm gonna live watch it, because that's why I always like, it's the only time I've used Twitter in the last like year, 2 years, because I absolutely hate that thing. But I use it for Last Drive-In, because it's
that was a part of the thing that we planned. It just kind of happened when the like internet broke, quote unquote, when we did the first marathon. And I just went online trying to get everybody to like hold on until like we came back and fixed everything. And it just became a tradition then. So like, I live tweet during the whole freaking show always. So thanks for being part of that.
Which is awesome. So cool. The hashtag Mutant Fam is out there. We know that we got a big crossover, and I can't wait to see everybody at the Last Drive-In.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to this special bonus episode. Not bonus. It's just a special episode.
It's just an episode, man. We did this.
Check out everything Diana Prince has been a part of, even if she doesn't want to be proud of it, because she should be proud of it, because Diana, you did great, amazing work. Wow. And you're just a wonderful, it's been really nice chatting with you.
It's been wonderful. Thank you so much,
thank
Diana.
Thank you for having me.
Live from your grave.
All right, there it was, our conversation with Diana Prince.
Another perfect interview.
Oh, we nailed it.
She's great, right, though? She's so, like, she knows a fuck ton about movies.
She knows a lot about movies, doesn't like certain films that I'm a little bit surprised about, but you know what? That's humans, isn't it?
It is.
Surprise us a little bit?
That's right.
But now we're going to finish our summer break. I'm certain right now I'm... I'm down in Puerto Vallarta, and I have a bunch
Punta
of
del Este.
I have bought a bunch of, like, you know, like, it's me, and I have a whole, all these families around me.
Sure.
And like, thank you for coming.
Why not?
And I make a little school. I teach them all about history, and that's what I'm doing for my summer break. What are you doing for your summer break, Marcus?
At this moment, when this episode is released, I'm going to be in Vermont. In the forest.
Vermont?
Love Vermont because it's where all the forests are and the trees.
Oh.
And I just get trees because I need trees. I love trees.
I might be around trees also, or I might be around some big earnings. Big earnings. Gambling.
Are you just going to spend the entire summer break gambling?
Gambling? No, not really. maybe I'll go see Thunder Down Under and look at some Australians get ready for our tour over there.
Yeah, I'll go look at some dick with you. We're gonna be in Vegas together.
Well, the thing
man.
Is, they don't show the dick; they reference the dick.
That's stupid.
No, that's the point. That's the ooh. When we're gonna see it? That's what
show
gets
the dick.
No, because women are weird. Like, they don't want to see the dick. They want you to think. They want to form the dick in their minds.
I think all of this is being made by men.
No, it's not. Thunder Down Under is, I've been to an event, and it was women, and it smelled like women.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was weird, bro.
I see.
It was real weird.
I see.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Hail yourselves!
Scariest moment of all. Hail Satan.
Congratulations.
Oh, hail Gain.
Do you mean it smelled like perfume?
No, it smelled like they needed perfume.
Woo!
My God, I almost got pregnant.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.